See what happens?
Kim said she'd be right back. I have no idea. I guess, I don't know.
For the design.
For the design?
Here's what it is. This is me. And this is. That's the kickoff meeting.
You have to wait till this. Put that on the record, Jerry.
Kim will be right back, she said.
Oh, you smell it?
He has a
go to the cafe. Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's what I do. It's subliminal. It's kind of like the movies, you know, when they're popping the popcorn up on the screen. That's right. What we doing?
Well, we're going to talk about it here in a second. Here, read that. It's a lot of bacon. I can smell it.
Got to die from something.
Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you and to serve the people of Preble County. Lord, I just ask that you give us your wisdom as we make decisions on behalf of the county. Lord, I just ask that you put a hedge of protection around our first responders and the people that are involved in taking care of our safety and our freedom. Lord, I just ask that you continue to bless our county as you have. In Jesus' name, amen. So, on our agenda, we have public comments, approval minutes, financial considerations, correspondence and reports, appointments, agreements and contracts, travel requests, meetings. We have 9 a.m. JFS monthly meeting, 10 a.m. EMA monthly meeting, 10:15 Beth Wright recycling waste assessment request, 10:30 are we postponing that? We need to talk about, do we want to postpone the 10:30 meeting until next week?
We don't have all the paperwork for this, so we probably need to...
Okay, so we're going to postpone the 10:30 meeting to next week because the paperwork isn't finished, which was the Sewer District Number 6 kickoff meeting with Stephen Smith. That was a meeting to discuss the design. 11:30, a Board of Elections early voting site and storage space. Recess for lunch about noon, and then come back at 1:30 to discuss legal issues with Michelle Thomas, our attorney. Are there any additional items?
Not at this time.
Okay. At this time, I would open the floor up for public comments. If you would come to the podium and state your name and for the record. Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jerry Wayne. I live at 237 Vanessa Drive, West LA. I think it was the January 8th Commissioner's meeting when Kyle Frost was here discussing East 2 Ohio funds to fund the sewer district. Jack Brubaker from State Rep Todd Smith's office, I called him about that. The East 2 Ohio fund grants is mainly focusing on agricultural projects. Second in line for that money is the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Third in line, if there's any money left, is the EPA, the Ohio EPA. And Todd Smith's office says that, in their opinion, there's not going to be any funds available to fund the sewer district safety. So, I don't know where Kyle Cross is getting his information, but I think he's misleading the county, the commissioners, and the public. January 17th of this year and January 20th, I took, these are yours, took photos of sewage on the ground and flowing at the trailer park at 32 Quaker Trace Road, doing business at 32 Quaker Trace LLC. The last picture, Denise, there's a grating. You see that grating? That Monday, Lanier trustee Austin Cole, commissioner candidate Rachel Bondenars, stood over that grating, and the sewer stench was gagging. And there was 25 to 30 gallons of water a minute flowing into this catch basin, which flows through the ditches in my neighborhood in the Vannis Fork, where the city of Eden pumps the water. Now, the EPA, the Ohio EPA, they should get funds money for the outstanding job they've been doing in our county. 10 years. I know you're sick of me coming over here. 25 gallons a minute for 10 years. And, you know, everybody's running around looking for a solution. Nobody wants to fix the problem. You know, I walked back there taking these pictures. I sunk in the ground probably 6 inches. It's a sewage swamp back there. Sewage flowing underneath trailers, flowing into our ditches and springs. EPA hasn't done a thing to stop it. Nothing. And, as I've explained before, per the legal advice of the manufactured home program, when that sewage leaves that park, that sewage is under the jurisdiction of the Trumbull County Health Department to fix that problem. So, we're not here today. I was here a week ago talking about it. I took these pictures when I left the commissioner meeting last week. that in a complaint form and filed it at the health department. Come back here, took the same package to the prosecutor's office. Nobody wants to do their job. And the reason no one in that Glenwood area is over here beating the table about the sewage pump is because that 25 gallon a minute of water coming through that, that's all those homes dumping their stuff into county ditches. And as I said before, every well and every sewage system out in that Glenwood area has had a permit that's been given by the House of the Trump County Health Department. These people out there should be in jail. Denise, you wouldn't tolerate it for a minute 25 gallon of sewage water going on your Christmas tree farm. Rod, nothing on your farm like that. You wouldn't put up with it for a second. 10 years.
I do think that it is time for us to call the health department in, and we need to start going to the property owners, and especially the property owner of the trailer park, and start looking for our own resolution.
You need to indict the health department.
Well, I can't indict anyone. But
they can.
That, and you're right. So I do think it's time for us to take a serious, have a serious talk with the health department, because the finger pointing is getting, it's getting old.
Well, and we're passing the buck.
Right.
And it's, and I'd like to make a motion that the first, is it February 3rd, is the first commissioner's meeting in February 3rd? I'd like to make a motion that we set a tent up out there over that catch basin and have the commissioner's meeting in that tent.
February 3rd would be the first one.
Well, that catch basin is on D&D Trailer Sales property. And I got permission to go back there from Mr.
Good.
Baker.
Good.
So, but I think that's where the commissioner's meeting ought to be in February. Put a nice enclosed tent over there. Yeah, I think that would be very appropriate. You know, when you walk back, I'm telling you, the cinch back there, the gag-a-maggot.
I believe you.
And that's on the Provo County Health Department. You know, it's...
Jerry, I've said it every time, and I'll say it again, since we have a... I mean, if this was happening on our properties, we would be upset like you are, but there's nothing we can do. Just understand that the commissioners have no say in this. I mean, I hear you every time you come in here. Every time you come in here, I hear you.
Right.
But we have no power over this. It's the EPA, the health department. I just want to make sure you know that.
Right. Well,
okay.
As I suggested in the past, you can bring outside counsel in here, bypass the prosecutor's office, and you can file charges on these people.
I still think that we can have a discussion with the health department and get something moving in the right direction, because this is not the right direction.
Good luck. I think we're way past discussions.
Well, and you may be right.
Yeah, you know, it's. I understand why everybody wants a sewer system in the county. I mean, when I say everybody, I mean the bureaucrats. Because everybody, the problem goes away. Health department don't have a problem. Prosecutor's office don't have a problem. Everybody goes away. They create more jobs so that the taxpayers get the fund. I mean, it's a win-win for everybody, except the homeowners and the taxpayers.
I get it.
And then on the agenda today, you've got a kickoff to the planning. Well, let's forget about the plan to stop the sewage.
Right. The kickoff meeting is we have a grant to design something out in that area. And so we are going to design something that, you know, if we were to go that way, would create a sewer district. Does not necessarily mean, because I didn't really like the way the paper, sorry Kelsey, but I didn't like the way I didn't like the discussion in here with Kyle in that it was a done deal and we're just moving forward.
Well,
so I didn't really care for that, but we are tasked to looking at all the options. That is one of the options. We do want to create a plan if that's the direction that we end up going, but it's not a done deal. And you're right, we have a problem right now. We can't,
absolutely.
We can't wait for years to...
And we knew we had a problem when in 2014 when they came to us and said, you're going to be putting a sewer system in. We said, let us fix it locally. We've said that every day since then. Every time you come in here, we wanted to fix it locally. It was an option. We're under finding these orders from the EPA. You can't stop the train. And I know you're willing to bankrupt the county. I'm not. You can't stop that train. If you can do it civilly, that's great. But we cannot put the taxpayers at risk to fight EPA.
A lot of actions are coming. I can tell you that right now. But I'm saying this. The IEPA, instead of coming in here and threatening the county with $16 million in fines, should be right out there on Hillcrest Drive threatening those people. Because those are the ones, it's not you people.
And it actually should be the property owner. I mean, it comes back down to the property owner, the person who owns that property.
Well, the property owner, that's under the EPA jurisdiction.
Right, and that's, I mean, there should be some sort of, I don't know, mandate to the property owner to keep his property from polluting.
Well, the lawyer from the manufactured home program says he owns a number of trailer parks in the state, and they have the same problem with him and everyone. And I said, well, why aren't you shutting down?
Yeah, that's
But, you know, back to Kyle Cross's little presentation, you know, I think the commissioners, to a person, said on that order of findings, there was still an exit ramp because if the feasibility study shows it's too expensive, well, it sounds like to me we're bypassing, we missed that exit because we're going from, I might have heard anything about the feasibility study.
Well, that's part of what the design is, the kickoff meeting is going to be, is we will get the real numbers of what we're looking at here as far as the cost.
Now, CDM?
CDM Smith.
Is that the same company that missed all the deadlines
with
the EPA?
Yeah.
And you're still doing business with them?
Well, that was a little complicated because they put our grant in jeopardy. And so the grant people were like, you can't change horses in midstream here, and we risked our grant. So we stuck with them. We do have somebody else that is representing them from the company. We don't have the same person that we were dealing with that missed all the deadlines and wasn't returning phone calls. But we were kind of, I don't want to say, we would have jeopardized our grant if we had gone and tried to get another company and gone out for other bids. So we thought we did the best we could with, you know, changing the representative from CDM Smith that we were working with, and from the feedback that we're getting from Julie, this person is much more responsive and is actually more on task. So.
As you mentioned, as you read the agenda, then this 10:30 meeting is a scratch. It's
going to be postponed. Yes.
Until next week?
Next week?
It could be as far as 2 weeks out. It's getting paper in place, so.
Could you let me know when you find out that the meeting's on? Because I want to get some people here.
I will. Yeah.
So, one other thing. Per the health department, after two 30-day grace periods on a sewage problem, it's turned over to the prosecutor's office. That's their procedure.
Okay.
So, I filed that report in the pictures. Last Wednesday, which was the 17th? No. It was last Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think Friday was the 17th.
Okay.
Yeah, the 15th was last Wednesday.
March 15th, there should be legal action starting. But in my public records request to the prosecutor attorney's office, since 2009, there's not been one sewage case turned over to the prosecutor's office.
Okay.
So how do you think that program works?
Right.
So they're just as culpable as the health department because they're not doing their job either.
Well, they have to get something from the health department to take action.
I bypassed the health department last Wednesday. I hand-delivered it to them.
Okay.
And I gave them a copy of what I turned over there.
Okay.
So they can't play stupid. If they don't get a copy or a contact from the health department in 60 days, or actually 30, because 60 days, they should be calling them because they've got documents and evidence of what's going on.
Okay.
So, yay or nay on the meeting February 3rd out there at the tent?
Nay.
I'm busy.
Huh?
I'm busy.
I'm not. I'll be there. I'll pay for the tent. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Gary. See you next week.
All right. Any further public comments? Sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have a meeting to get to or anything? Do we need to go through, or do you want to just give us your information?
Or
I'm just not wanting to screw up her schedule.
Okay.
Good morning. Mary Bullen, Lutheran Community Rights in Rural Camden, Ohio. I've been reading some of the information, obviously, in the RH about the sewer district issues and watching them over many years. And as Jerry even mentioned, 2014. And my main reason for standing up here is my growing concern about how many large issues we have in Preble County that are not being resolved, that just keep dragging on. The sewer district being one, board of elections issue being another, the art building, and how it's going to be transacted to benefit Preble County, another. And one that I'm very concerned about, in addition, is the Preble County Fairgrounds and the Ag Society and their fair board. I'm not sure if you all are aware of the Ohio Revised Code 1711.31, where control of lands when title vested in county commissioners, how it can be appropriated for another public purpose. I heard through the grapevine that you guys were considering using some of that property for a county use outside of fairground purposes. And I wanted to remind you that the board of directors of our Ag Society, so long as they occupy it, and that being the fairgrounds, and used by it, have the control and management of such lands. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been abused in the past with many things happening. For instance, the Expo expansion that didn't go through the fair board, the rental of the tower, and then recently I understand maybe some Wi-Fi or TPNL considerations for use of that land without going through or benefiting completely the fair board and its purpose out there at the fairgrounds. So I just wanted to bring up my concerns, and in particular, I know many of these issues come up before a county, some less important, some more important, but my big concern is how long it takes to resolve them to the benefit of all concerned, to the best of everyone's ability. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thanks. Anyone else?
Jerry Simon, I'm not a resident of Preble County, but we do have a business across the street at 108 Main Street. And I've had a long time vested interest in Preble County. I'm here primarily today to speak on behalf of the Art Center. And like Mary had indicated, this property transition. One of the things, and I was hoping that the room would have a few more people in it, that go back the 30 years when the Art Center was formed on Hillcrest, because I was over here at that time. I worked over here, and took an interest. I've always had an interest in art, but at that time, you know, I knew Rosie McNeese, and Christian occupied another building with her at one time, and so I have a connection to that building from 30 years ago. And so fast forward ahead 25 years, and I've been on the board at the Art Center for the last 5 years, and so I've been involved in the meetings that were growing. I mean, this is great for the county, for the children, for seniors, for everyone. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I was at a time in my life where I could every board member voted yay, except for me. I was against it. And that's why I thought I wanted to share this with you guys, because, you know, obviously that's what we did in our meeting. I was against it. A part of why I was against it was I think that a little bit of a sentimental connection to 30 years ago, remembering that you were little, remembering who's there. You know, so I didn't have that buy-in, and I was a little board member with the neighbor. Now, what I want to do today is stand here and tell you how wrong I was to not be on board with that. Because I have totally been amazed with how this went down over the last 2 years. And, you know, we knew from the beginning, because a part of what I talked about was, well, what about, you know, all the people that gave for this Hillcrest property 30 years ago? We were donors then and supported that center as well, as we are today, and we will continue to support the arts in Crawford County. And, you know, but it was like, well, we've already, you know, been in talks with commissioners. We're pretty sure there's a way, you know, we've been assured that we can work something out. They buy our building, we buy the land, we sell it all. There's been all these things back and forth, and all the many board meetings in between. We've always had a report on it. Well, we're working on it. So I'm frustrated because, as a volunteer and someone who gives a lot of time to the Arts Center, something that seems as easy as making a real estate transaction just keeps getting, the box keeps getting kicked down the driveway or the lane or the road or whatever. And I think that's just, you know, I think there's a way to resolve it. No, I don't know higher revised code. I did look through some of it over the last few days.
Sorry.
I know. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go back and do some clay work or something. But I do know, because when I worked, I was in banking and I was in lending more specifically. And I do know that when you have a will and you have common sense that needs to be applied to something, there are resolutions that can take place. And ways, you know, maybe it's not specifically spelled out there, you can do this, you can do that, but there are ways when it makes common sense for your county and to see the growth and what businesses have contributed in this county to grow the arts. I will have to say, yesterday was the first time I was in the Star Theater. I was amazed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazed. And, you know, you have some people to thank. And sometimes I don't think they get as much appreciation as they actually deserve in this county. Because there are other places that would love to have the facilities that this county has to support the arts. And I just hope and pray that you guys can make this come to a good conclusion and get this resolved, because I hate to see this continue cause the Arts Center to be held up on, you know, funding.
So have you read the contract?
Yes.
Okay. It's more complicated.
Yes.
So there is no easy way to do this. So I just didn't want to, it's not simple. It's not a matter of just transferring, you know, property from one to the other. So I just wanted to clarify that it's complicated.
However, we did get a legal opinion from our prosecutor's office, and it can be done.
Yeah.
We just have to do it.
Right. And that's where I'm thinking that, you know, I read, like I say, I looked at your commission of the party, the higher provider, what you're allowed, you know, but I think, and the fact that this is for a nonprofit, and it's not someone trying to benefit from a sale of property in the sense of a personal. It should be easier than what has been made to drag out for 2 years. I mean, if it can be done, it needs to get done, and then it should. And then I think it would also make a couple of problems go away. But, you know, and looking at all three of you, you've all supported the arts. That's what it's like. I see your faces there.
Well, I believe in contracts. I think, I believe in contracts. I believe in handshakes, and I think everybody's word is so important. But when I look at this contract, and I said it last week, there was two people in here last week in support of the contract. Contracts have to be fair to both parties, and if both parties don't think it's fair, we don't have to honor that contract. We can say, you know what? They sat right here, and I said, I have one question for you, because I've never met anybody that was on the original board. Why did you put a $250,000 building on county property? That's not good for anybody. And, I feel like, and I've said it, and I'll say it in front of you, I said it last week, I think it's our duty to make it right. The county can sell the land, which they probably should have done originally. I don't know why somebody would build a property on somebody else's land. That's insane. At that time, it may have felt like a good thing to do, and I know it comes down to that property was probably worth $6,000 back in that day, 30 years ago. It's worth $15,000 an acre now, so it was probably worth six or less then. And just to me, it was a bad decision. It was probably a good decision at the time. I feel like, seeing what the Art Center has done in the community, the fundraising, the there's so much liveliness. It's just alive. I don't want to take from the. I want to do what's right. Let's sell our land to you, or what the process that Marty says to do it. Let you guys sell the building. Everybody's happy is the way I look at it. I would love that to happen. Great. I would love for that to happen.
And what about you guys?
I would like a resolution to this, and it is something that we need to discuss further. We have kind of pushed it to the side because we've had bigger fish to fry, so. We do need to bring it back up to the front burner.
Yeah. Well, and I would agree. Hearing this gentleman's problems, yeah. But also, on the other side, if you've got one that can be fixed pretty easily with a simple.
Is that easy simple?
Yeah, I get that. Easy simple.
All we got to do is come back after lunch. We're usually out of here at noon. We can come back. The courthouse is open until 4, so we can't use that as an excuse, in my opinion.
Easy.
All easy. Yes, that is true. In comparison to that, it is much.
I'm just saying it can be done. It's not. There's no excuse, in my opinion.
It does still stink for us.
Yeah.
That we have had to go down some other avenues to complete our process here. So,
okay.
And that would have been a good
thing. Thank you.
May we hear from Chris about this?
Sure. We have to be very careful how we handle this. We just can't give money away. If you go back to the original agreement, it was pretty cut and dried. But if you guys, the Art Association was done with it, they walk away, it reverts back. That's as plain and simple as it is. My caution is, if we give you guys money, if someone else comes to the table, how do we give them money? That's our biggest concern. That's one of our biggest concerns, because we just can't give money away.
Mary Bolin, again from Camden, Ohio. Gosh, no, you shouldn't be giving our money away.
Right.
Okay, but you're standing in front of our money and the people who have provided it. And we elect you with the hope that you can make intelligent decisions about when you can do things that maybe in your mind is giving something away, but yet benefiting the quality of life in Preble County and the citizens. There are times when it's hard to say no, because maybe that does open the door and somebody comes in here and says, you did it for the Art Society, why can't you do it for me? And then you have to weigh those pros and cons and try to explain that to that person, and if the answer is no, then you say, I'm sorry. That's life. That's what you do to your kids, your neighbors, and everybody else. So, using that excuse.
Well,
that just doesn't work.
We're sitting in front of taxpaying people. People have donated to Art Center. Not everybody feels the same way that you do. There are people that are they're adamant in the other direction that we hear from also. We represent everyone. And so we really do want to make this, at least I do, this is my opinion only, really do want a resolution that is fair to both sides. And that's what I'm looking for. So, yeah, so you all donated, you're all taxpayers, but you're not the whole county, and I don't know about the other two, but I hear from people that say, you know, we should stick to our guns and go by the contract. So there, I'm hoping that we can, we have to resolve this. We can't leave it hanging. So I do agree with Mrs. Simon there. So I thank you for coming in. And we, like I said, we've had some big fish to fry, and so it has kind of fallen over to the side. It is the main important thing to you, but we have a lot of big issues that we're discussing.
And I return to my original statement, is that you were elected with the hope that you were smart enough to make the right decisions, weighing everyone's side on this issue,
right,
but for the benefit of Preble County, not just a few people in Preble County.
Not just a few people.
If you have six people in your ear telling you not to do this, and then you have 10 people here telling you to do it, take a vote. Then canvas your community. The other side of that is you have the money to improve the quality of Preble County, to work with the Art Association.
And this is where you and I disagree in the fact that...
Well, you're not giving it back.
Taxpayers.
But meanwhile, you're just banking it all along, and it's not...
Our cash balance is not... We're not banking anything. Our cash balance has remained the same since I've been here. It's gone up a little bit, but we're not loading piles of money in a corner somewhere. The money that is in our cash balance, to me, is for economic downturns, so we can adjust our services and our budget accordingly. I don't want to be in...
Is that a cash balance, or is that a reserve?
Well, the reserve, I think legally we are supposed to keep a certain reserve.
Do you know what that amount is?
I do not. Off the top of my head, I do not.
A couple things.
You have over 2 years in reserve for a downturn.
Well, would we be out of money completely? Is that what the reserve, okay, you're saying? We would be out of money completely if we had 2 years
in
reserves?
You have nothing coming in. You have 2 years worth of reserves sitting.
It's 6 months.
That's not correct.
Which is still great. Which is still good. 6 months is good, but...
That's fine. Yeah. I will go to the auditor and check on...
Oh, please do. I live up there. Hey, we're going to be here until 1:30. But by the way, Mary, and everybody, you know, we would not be... The way that the... And correct me if I'm wrong... But we would not be purchasing anything. We would not be giving you money through that process. We would actually be selling you the land, and we would be getting what...
We would be putting that land up for sale for auction.
That is
we
correct.
We would not be selling it directly to anyone.
So my point is, the county would not be taking in... We would not be paying anybody. We would not be paying for the building. We would not be... So technically...
You're supporting the issue, aren't you?
Yes. No, what I'm trying to say is... What I'm trying to say is we can't say we can't give the taxpayers money away because we're actually selling the land and bringing taxpayer dollars in, and you get the, I just, for clarification, we would not be buying anything. We'd be selling something. But no, we are. I can get with you. I mean, get with LaVon. She knows it better than I do. But we're, and Denise, I think our cash balance is about $2 to $3 million higher than when you've been in. I mean, we're up over 7.2 million.
But
so we're, it's gone up almost doubled, but... we're not the same as we was, 8 years ago.
So, but
I'm just clarifying the record. We've been going up about $500,000 to $1 million a year.
Yeah.
LaVon can get you all that information.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'll be brief. I promise. I could actually promise myself what I was saying. So sorry.
Just broke a promise to yourself.
I'm sorry. Jonas Eisen, local business owner, property owner. Been very involved with our association. Try to clarify something from 30 years ago. My recollection to it, because I participated in the fundraiser to build a building that's out there. As I recall it, and I could be mistaken, the 99-year lease was done because the county didn't want to get over the obstacles it would take to actually sell the property. So that's my recollection, whether it's accurate. Mm-hmm. I think the intention of the commission is to be one of the done would be, like I said, just an excellent thing. But I will share one maybe slightly humorous thing. Rosie McNeese and I were occupants in the same building that burned to the ground in the first 1987. I remember very vividly. I remember standing in front of the building watching it burn and Rosie trying to decide what it was she was going to do. And a couple weeks later, we ran into her and was talking to her, and I said, Rosie, do a fundraiser. It'd be a piece of cake. And not that that's the reason she did, but ultimately that's what she ended up doing. So at the grand opening of the Art Center, Rosie is standing next to me, and I'll paraphrase just slightly, because if anybody really knew Rosie, they would know what she might say. Rosie whispers to me, you said this would be easy. I kick your butt. So, I mean, the arts in Preble County are important. And honestly, and I'm basically a sales guy, have been for years, but, and Rod, you were talking about selling the property. I think it would be a really quick fundraiser for the Art Association to come up with $15,000 to buy that piece of real estate. So if the hoops can be overcome that have to jump through to do that, that seems like an option that should be considered.
Just to clarify, Jim, it's $15,000 an acre. That's 2.1 acres. Okay. So I was just saying the land's worth $15,000 roughly for a commercial property. That's
what I'm over.
I just didn't want. I just wanted that. I just wanted that to be clarified.
We can negotiate the price.
Yeah, but if you buy if this goes up for let's say auction and you do get the high bid, you know, you buy the property for $30,000. You put the property on the market, sell it for $250,000. Or whatever it's worth. I don't know what it's worth. I think that's what it's worth. You're going to net out $220,000. You don't have to have a fundraiser. I mean, you're just buying land to sell your property. In my to me, it's simple, but I it is. I mean, because we got a opinion. We got an opinion from the prosecutor's office. All we got to do is follow it. To me, it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out in the county a lot, and I just heavily involved in the first opposition that I heard was here last week. I've never heard anybody oppose this to me. I've never even really had anybody bring it up. The first opposition that I got was last week here with two people that were against, they thought we should honor the contract. And like I said, I'm a contract guy. I'm a handshake guy. I think you should. But if both parties agree that it's not a good contract, that's it's fair. It's fair to renegotiate.
The parties of the contract, we could renegotiate the contract.
If one party still thought it was right, it's a done deal. The contract's legit. But if both parties can negotiate, it can be done, is my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Ben. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, we're going to close public comment.
Jean.
And move on with our meeting. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Have a meeting scheduled with the staff to sit down and brainstorm with those kids where we're at? Do some of them, do we need to work, get some resources in to work on getting them adopted? And if they're coming to custody and how we can move forward a little better. With those kids and getting them permanent families. We do have 68 total kids currently in open cases, which is also a higher number. And the last 3 months have been our highest enough in this calendar year for child placement costs. So,
is that due to the higher number or special needs that are for the
We only have 4 or 5 in residential, which is what we kind of stated an average of in 2019, but which is much lower than it was in 2018. So I'm happy with 4 or 5 at over $100 a day, even though that seems unrealistic to everyone. Happy with over $100 a day, but 4 or 5 is really, really good. So I think it is more the number of kids we have in care, and then also the cost of care is just rising. And of course, when school starts, so the last 3 months include September, and when school starts, we always get more referrals than we have before. The behaviors of children are very, very difficult right now, because we think, we don't have any scientific evidence right now, or I don't, someone might, but I don't, that the behavior is due to the drug addiction when the mother, the prenatal drug addiction. We had a 5-year-old this year who, and I might have talked to you about him before, who the first week of school was expelled from kindergarten, and it took 4 adults to remove him from the classroom, and the principal got bit, and that child has essentially not stabilized, and we've done lots of things to try to help that situation, but that family in general is not stabilizing, and that child had already been removed from his parents, so he was in a stable environment when this was happening. So we're still working with that family, but that is not atypical now with children. We have another situation where the mom did complete her case plan and she is able to care for her children, but the one child's behaviors do not allow him to go home. You don't see other children. Well, we have a rule that no child can be in custody, in temporary custody, for more than 24 months, and he's at that. So we have to decide, okay, mom did what she needed to do, but do we take permanent custody of this child, or what do we do with him because he cannot come home? So those kind of decisions are very hard to make for other people's families. I am working on, you know that I'm down 3 caseworker positions and out of 9, so that's a huge dent, plus the social service worker 1. Who helps support the staff by monitoring the in-house supervised visits. I did send down a worker 2 application. I think you'll probably, hopefully, have that on the agenda today or next week. I am working on filling a social service worker 1 position. I'm waiting to confirm a start date for that person. Her husband has to have a surgery right at the beginning of February, so we're trying to make sure that it's a good start time for her because of him. I have some interviews today and, well, really the rest of the week to fill other social service worker 2 positions plus my open child support case manager position. I was at the resource fair last night. It was very well attended by lots of folks. It was sponsored by the Foundation and Habitat for Humanity. There was lots of social service agencies and other resources available there. It was really a nice event. Everybody was able to hear about the resources in the county as well as get a meal, and some folks got haircuts. It was just a really nice event. And I would encourage you guys to visit that next year. They do it every year, and I would encourage you to visit it just to see what all is available through your social service agencies. I know you guys had another meeting last night, and a lot of times you stop in other years. So just encourage you to be aware of it for next year. I do have an opportunity to contract with a retired supervisor from Montgomery County. I've reached out to several places to see if there's somebody who can come in and work more hands on with the staff in children's services for training.
Does she have
fingerprints? I hope so. She is retired. I certainly hope so. No, I hope so. I asked if she had a background in safecracking, and I didn't hear that she did, so I hope she'll have some fingerprints. But I wanted to just let you know, so so it's not a surprise to you that I'm going to probably be sending something down with a description for that and a short-term contract with her to do some hands-on training with the staff with that. And with as many openings as I currently have, the supervisors are also carrying caseloads. So to carry a caseload and train staff and do the regular supervision duties, there's no time to do that. Some of my staff are making 90 face-to-face contacts per month right now, and that, and they, because we don't have the worker one, they also have to monitor the in-agency visits with the parents. So there is absolutely no way for them to accomplish that. If all of the visits were in Preble County, they probably could, but they're not. And so having to travel across the state to visit kids is a chore and takes a lot of time on the road. One thing we did get, the governor allowed us to have an extra pot of money for foster parent recruitment. And so I'm looking into how we can best use that to recruit additional local foster parents. We've never had marketing money before. This is really marketing money. And since we really, our skill set is not marketing, I am looking at if it's feasible for us to be able to actually hire somebody with that skill set to work with us on how to best market to our local community. We are the administrative agent for FCFC and have been for as long as FCFC has been around. As far as I know, the FCFC has a program under it called Wraparound, and what that person does is basically case manages families who are involved with multiple systems, because that can become very confusing to know what's going on with every system you're involved with. The juvenile court has, in the past, had the wraparound coordinator as a part of their staff under task, and that person has split duties. Juvenile court has decided that they really can't support that position any longer. It doesn't fit well in our agency, and so as the FCFC administrative agent, I believe we're going to be advertising for the wraparound coordinator, but they will be a part of our staff. And again, I'll send the specifics down. I've been waiting on the job description so that I can send a job description to you so we can talk about that further, but just so you have a heads up on that. Also, one of the staff whose last day is Friday is the APS worker. If you remember correctly, we had the APS worker, child care worker, as one position, and when that person left, we decided we didn't need that position like that anymore. Those two, child care and APS, don't really go together. And so I asked to have APS go to Children's Services, and child care went to the Job Center, which is working really well. APS and Children's Services is not working well, because anytime a Children's Services issue comes in, that takes precedent, and now we have elderly people who are really, their needs are not getting met to the level that I would like for them to be in this county. So I've had some conversations with Shelley Ratliff at the Council on Aging. She has a part-time position that connects seniors to resources, and I can't remember exactly what she called it, but I think it was the Senior Navigator Program. So we've talked about combining her money for the Senior Navigator and the APS position together, which would be a nice little connection, and me hiring the APS worker because of the requirements of ORC and OAC, and that person being supervised at my office. And then we do the Senior Navigator with Shelby funding it into our agency. So you'll hear more about that. We've been in talks about it, but nothing has actually come to fruition. But I would need to change the job description for that, so I will get with Brian Butcher to make sure that that's accurate. Oh, thank you. And so Mary Schutt has a picture here of a senior at the, I guess that's a Pamiel site?
At the Pamiel site.
At the bistro. Thank you, Mary. We did have agency-wide feedback, like I do every year. I'm sure you remember that I do that every year with the staff and ask them some questions, and they give me feedback on how things are going at the agency. I've compiled that. We've had a supervisors meeting and discussed some of their concerns and things that I thought was very positive this year. But I will be reviewing that with the full staff on Friday's full staff meeting at 8:30. If any of you'd like to join, you're welcome to come and hear what staff had to say about how it is to work for the county and for Child and Family Services more specifically. Let's see. We had a meeting yesterday about forensic interviews, which are interviews for children who have been victims of primarily sexual abuse, but it could be other types of criminal abuse. And we traditionally used Care House in Dayton for those interviews, and Care House has requested that we begin paying for those. As far as I'm aware currently, I don't have a funding source that can pay those. We are looking at that, but I don't have a funding source for paying for a criminal investigation interview. That's not something that's a part of what we do. We don't do criminal investigations, and so I don't have a funding source that can pay that, that I'm currently aware of. Again, we're looking at it. Care House has quoted that the cost of the interview for her agency is $1,000 an interview. We had 95 sex abuse referrals in 2019. 55 of them were screened in referrals, and I think we had sent 24 to Care House in 2019, and 19 to Mayerson Center, which also does forensic interviews in Cincinnati. And then we also have, Kevin can do forensic interviews in the office, so he's done some of them as well. I just wanted to let you know where we are with that, because I know the prosecutor's office and law enforcement are interested in continuing to use Care House. It's what they feel is the most quality and the closest facility for them to get those interviews accomplished. And if I do not have the funding to pay for that, there will be a likely request of the commission to help fund that cost for that forensic interview.
What's changed the first
I really don't know, other than I started these conversations with them a year ago, and what had happened is that the Care House staff had told my staff that they had been told that they should not really be doing interviews for Preble County because Care House is supported by Montgomery County levy dollars. And so using Montgomery County levy dollars, they have a human service levy, which covers, it's a big umbrella, it covers a lot of social services. And there was some discussion a year ago. I definitely did not have the funds a year ago. This year we've got some additional funds, you know, that the governor's given us that I don't know if I can use them for these or not, so that's what we're checking on. But I get a lot of feedback from the other partners on, you know, how can we pay for this, and so I didn't follow through anymore on it, because she basically said, I should be charging you, I know small counties don't have the money, there was really no, you've got to pay us kind of thing. And then some other things happened this summer, and we got to, yeah, they really want us to pay them. So we started using Mayerson in Cincinnati, which does not charge us. And law enforcement struggles with that because it takes a little longer to get to the interviews. It is Cincinnati. The families have to get through that sort of thing. I also contacted JC House in Richmond yesterday to see, we've never really partnered with them, to see if that was a possibility. I did get a response from the director there, and she is interested in talking, so I'll be scheduling a meeting with her to see what kind of a deal that would be close for. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And last thing I have is, and I may have brought this up with you before, the Kmart building. I have talked with Billy Kester from Reed Hospital about what their plans were with the Kmart building. I said that this county really needs a child advocacy center, which does these kind of interviews. We need pediatricians. We need a youth partial hospitalization program, because we're transporting children to Caring Behavioral Health or to YCATS at Good Santa for every single day, two ways for school, who cannot, for example, that five-year-old who cannot stay in his school because of behavioral issues. We're transporting them so far, and parents can't really do that. I mean, who could transport their kid back and forth and work and all those sorts of things? So we really need a program like that in the county, and also a visitation center. Visits are not ideal in my office, and then there are other needs for visitation center in the county by folks who maybe have protection orders, but their children have to visit and that sort of thing. So I've been in talks with her. We've had a meeting with a lot of key players around that. She sent me some grant information about that, and I think they're going to actually go forward with at least some. some of those ideas for you. Right. So it, we might be able, within the next bit of time, to get forensic interviewing and those sorts of things accomplished right here. Yeah. They've been working
on the exterior and stuff like that.
And she's been, I mean, before the holidays, we were in some pretty good talks about how to make this happen. And she, like I said, she sent some great information, and I sent it out to the group that met Judge Bruns and Judge Obermeyer's office and Mental Health Recovery Board, some of the schools, and that sort of thing. We all kind of met together to talk about how we can move forward, because we don't have enough services for children in this county. We're sending our kids out. I mean, we don't even have a pediatrician. We have fantastic doctors in the Rosslers and the others, but not a pediatrician who could specialize in what children really need for some of the issues that we serve. So. And especially children's mental health issues, we have the services for that in county. Okay, I know I talked really fast. I'm going to, my next career is going to be auctioneer. So,
practice.
Anything you need? Oh, I brought the Surface Pro. I know you don't have time, but I thought maybe, you know, you guys pay for all these. Well, you didn't really, but you've authorized the payment for all of these Surface Pros. And I thought you might like to see them. This is what they look like. They're really just tabless. The keyboard comes off by a magnet like that. They're really just tabless. The staff have the insurance services and some of the other departments, fiscal and that. They can take these out on the road. They can access all of their programs for their files and things right here. They can take a picture of a child with this, and then it goes straight into the file. So we always have a current picture of the kid, which is fantastic. It also, it eliminated our CPU units, so we don't have those towers anymore. This thing works as that, so there's a little plug and a little contraption, and it hooks it into our other monitors and our main keyboard. We don't have to sit real thin all the time, but we can let it go, and then I've got all my notes right here, and I can look stuff up if I needed to or whatever, and get my email, and the staff can, children's services staff who are so mobile can do that also. So I'm just wondering, I thought you might be interested in that.
That's great.
Even though you didn't have time for it today.
Adult Protective Services. There wasn't a report on maybe how many complaints we had in 2019.
It's on my paper report. I'm sorry, I can tell you what that was. Let's see here. 12 for December, 68 in 2019 I'm sorry, 123 altogether, 68 in the second half of 2019. 123 altogether.
Critical, and I know Becky knows this, and I know you only have so many people and so many hours, but this is Miss S, who lives at Eagles Point. It's a black screen. Whatever we can do to support them so that we can get help for people like Miss We've been feeding her at the bistro for over a year. Several phone calls to Adult Protective Services, Chris. And we got, it's not Catholic Social Services, it's
Passport.
Passport came out to see her and said, we can't help her. She needs Adult Protective Services. That happened about 2 months ago. She still looks like this. She can't get it. She leaves her own room unlocked, walks around. Anybody could hurt her. She's outside, not clothed properly. Now, when you go up to her and ask her something, she's the most alert person in the world.
What's her family?
There's none. There's a person that's paying for rent. And we have struggled for a long time to try to get them to help us help her. And they agreed to pay for two of her meals at the bistro a week. She shows up a couple times a day and is hungry. So we sent a bill out. We still haven't been paid. So she has control of her money. And we don't know what to do. We've done everything we can.
For Adult Protective Services, the person has to want to agree to the service unless they're incompetent. And incompetence has to be determined by a physician, a licensed social worker. There's certain levels of nurses who can determine that.
Okay.
And
so, Becky, that's the first time when I heard that. How do we make that happen for her?
Well, she would have to have a physician or a mental health professional say she's incompetent. And what we do when we go out is, first of all, we will serve them, but they have to agree to the service. So we will go out and offer them services. There are things that we will help people with, but we can't force anyone to have a service. Just like I couldn't force you to have a service, right? So
she's turning it down.
So
she doesn't know anything.
So then what happens is if, and we can't determine competency because my person, but law enforcement could have her pay slip.
And she has her pay slip.
And then I actually had a conversation with Kettering Emergency Room about that just last night, actually, about how can we resolve this when we a lot of times want that determination because we cannot do anything without that determination that the senior does not want to have that. And so then if they are determined incompetent, then the prosecutor's office has to take that to court. We still have no authority. Just like I could not remove a child, I can't see a child being abused and remove them. I have to have law enforcement or a court order. The same thing with a senior. My office, we can't enforce things. We just provide services.
But didn't you say she was alert and with her? Oh, anybody that's mentally ill can hold down a conversation for a few minutes.
Okay.
Most of the time, unless they're extremely psychotic. But yeah, last years even. But she is confused. She
yes.
is
okay.
I just don't feel like nobody owns her. You know?
Right.
Well, and nobody does own her. She is an adult.
and Kelly owns her quality of life and to keep her safe.
No. She is a person. So you own her?
I own the responsibility.
Okay, and that's all good.
And we want to provide services too. I mean, we're not every single. There's very few times in the whole 30 years I've worked at Job and Family Services that we've ever had anybody where we've actually had to go to court and provide service. We've provided service to a whole lot of seniors in this county, and we're more than happy to do that. They have to agree.
Thank you,
Patrick.
Thank you for
the report. They don't want help.
Right. It's very good. And it takes the right person to present, you know,
right.
Chris, I'd like to help you, you know, versus you're going to do things the way I'm telling you to. Well, no, I don't want to. Okay, fine, I'm going to walk away. So I need the right worker who says, you know, I know you don't really want me here, but let's see what we can do so that you can be here safely. There are people, my mother, who's 92, and wants to star on her driver's license. And
hey,
she's been married four times.
I
can't remember where she got married. Right, yeah. So, yes, I understand.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything, you know where I am?
Yes,
thank
you.
Thank you.
All right.
Man, I've been here since 9 o'clock talking to these guys.
Wow. Yeah.
You have been put behind schedule a little bit.
It's okay, I'll catch up real quick.
You probably will, just like this.
And not a whole lot to talk about.
All right.
Okay, first on the agenda is the ICS 300 and 400 classes. Mm-hmm. Took me 2 years to finally get it. FEMA changed the classes, so that was a year of it. And I kind of upset my regional partners just a little bit because the state only puts out enough money to be able to do 4 trainings per region. And so I took 2 of them, but I told them, I said, look, you guys can have it from here on out because I know it's going to be probably a couple more years before I can find enough people to do it. So I got things smoothed over, so we're good. But I finally got it. They will be completing the 400 class on Saturday. So there are 30 in each class. So that was a full class. So I'm really happy about that. And these ICS classes are important because grant funding is based somewhat on that. A lot of times they'll ask a question, and is your, are you your county NIMS compliant? And having ICS classes for the people that need them makes them compliant. So, and I also wanted to thank the Eaton Fire Department for allowing us to use the training room. This was 5 days that they needed it, 2.5 weekends. I received information on the safe room rebate. I put it in the paper. I want to thank Kelsey for getting it in for me. It was in the last Wednesday's paper, I think it was. And so it's in there. I've already had 2 phone calls on that. And just to let you know, there are 3 people within the county that do have those safe rooms that went through the safe room program and they were awarded. So, yes. So they are there, and that's a good thing. The only thing that I'd like to say there is just make sure that if somebody does get it, that they let their local fire department know, because most of those are buried.
Looking for you?
Yeah. And so if your house gets destroyed and the damage and debris is on top of it, they may not even look to see it.
And they can save themselves from some danger in digging you out if you're not in there.
Right.
So, because they would probably try to save you if they thought you were in there.
Right. That's the only thing that I tell people. If you get it, make sure you let your fire department know that you're there and where it is. I sent out the LEPC meeting minutes. You guys received them. Do you have any questions, comments? Nope. Okay. The next thing is working on annual exercise. Well, I thought I had something lined up, and it turned out I didn't, and it was because of the timing. I was going to try and have a full-scale exercise with one of the ag companies here, and it didn't work out because of the timing, and so I need to do a functional exercise, so that kind of threw everything into a tizzy. I'm working on trying to get a contractor because the functional exercise typically exercises the EOC, which I'm going to have to be in, so I can't run the actual exercise itself, but I have to actually participate in it. So I'll be getting some information, and hopefully you guys will expeditiously grant me the ability to hire a contractor, because I really need to get working on this quickly, because it has to be done by the end of June to meet my LEPC requirements.
The exercise has to be done by
yes.
the end of June?
Yes. So that's not giving me a whole lot of time. And then on top of that, I would like to try and get that full-scale exercise in. The time frame that the ag company one was August, September, because that was the times that they weren't busy, which works out good because a lot of the fire departments have farmers that are on them, to where I can get them to participate because they will not be out in the fields during that time. If these guys aren't, they probably aren't. So I'm going to try and do that and see how that goes. I'm not sure if I can get that done or not, but I'm going to try. Any other questions on anything going on? Okay, sir, there's nothing to report yet, but we're starting to get into the busy season, so I'll probably have some stuff here the next couple of months. And the big thing that I'm working on right now is the cash request for the EMPG for the fourth and fifth quarter. Usually the fourth quarter, I can bring in stuff that I was not allowed to put in because you have to have, the grant has to cover the complete period of whatever you have. Like my contract for my generator maintenance is from January to December. Well, the thing only goes until June, so I've got to wait until that next year to be able to get reimbursed for it, so I'm digging up all the paperwork and stuff, so that's usually the hardest, and since the grant didn't come out until mid-December, to be able to get started working on it, so the fifth quarter is done too, so I'm trying to get it finished too, and both of those need to be done by the 30th. So. The other thing is Kim called me and she said that you guys will have something on here about signing an MOU for radiation detectors. I believe I talked to you guys about that several months ago.
Radiation. Okay.
Yeah, and I talked to you.
12 units or whatever, like 12 units or something. It's small units, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to get multiple units because I'll have one for each of the fire departments in the county. It's a wand that will be able to detect radiation, and I feel it's very important that we do this. The nice thing is the state will take care of the maintenance on it, but an MOU will have to be signed by the by us to get them, and then by the fire departments for them to receive them, so that if something happens, they get damaged, they'll take care of repairing them, because they are $1,000 a piece.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure you guys didn't have any questions or anything
problem done.
Good.
Okay, great.
Good day, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yep. We're slowly getting back on schedule.
As you know, assessments are kind of not always a 100% correct shot. We had an error that has persisted since before 2012 that I can find. It did get brought up this year because of a change that I made to another property, but the property belongs to the Cotton Gimp Family Limited. It's on that parcel, the J30,000. Since 2012, though, that parcel had the name attached Somerville National Bank and an address of 48 West Main Street, when in fact it was 2 North Main Street and owned by Todd Cottingham. Luckily, this problem has only persisted for this billing cycle because both properties only had like a vestibular capacity. So what happened was the bank moved to a different location, and it came up on the Rumkey list that they had upgraded from a waste wheeler to a dumpster. And I tried to apply the charge, and Mr. Cottingham ended up getting it. So basically, it revealed 2 problems at one time: that Somerville National Bank needed to be upgraded, and that Mr. Cottingham got an incorrect charge. So I have attempted to change the Somerville National to the correct address and the correct parcel, and also trying to attempt to change the billing for Mr. Cottingham. My recommendation is to change that incorrect $33.96.60 to the $99.14 for one waste wheeler, which Rumkey says he only has.
Okay. So the $14,000 is actually Cottingham North Main Street?
Yes.
And then corrected it?
Yes.
So the Somerville National Bank should be the 5,000 or the 5,000?
Yes. They will actually, their charge, actually I think they had 2 waste wheelers because it was $198.28, but they have a dumpster now, so it would be $396.60. They're for a 4-yard dumpster being emptied every other week.
Okay. So this charge is $396 is going to the 5,000.
Yes.
Is it correct now?
Well, my question on that is I never had to increase a charge after the landfill assessments have been certified. I've decreased them before, but I've never increased them. So my question is, does this need to be done by resolution? Because this is the first time I've encountered it.
And as I talked to Levon about it, she has asked for it. She just needs a resolution. I think the last time we corrected Scrivener's errors, we just did it by letter. So it might take some discussion with LaVon, but if I have to, I'll put whatever we put in the letter in a resolution format and take care of it that way.
So Somerville National Bank will be sent a letter that says you owe more?
I can do that.
It'd be just like you would when you tell somebody that you've corrected it so it goes down to where it needs to be. I'm assuming you give them some kind of notification. So
yeah, and theirs would be going up, though.
And they're aware that she's already talked to the bank. The bank said, well, yeah, we've got a dumpster.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they know they
have a dumpster.
Yeah.
And so
I'm just not not sure that they're aware that we need to be taking care of this bill, though. Not for 2020. Because that's how we want to do it, is put it on the
They
bill.
Got their dumpster in 2019, correct?
Yeah. Then they would have to have a letter
actually paid $99.14,
yeah.
And he knows that.
Yeah.
And then he'll be taken care of.
Right. I spoke with him on the phone. He was holding off until this went through, but he knows about it.
Okay.
All I have to do is email him and let him know it was taken care of.
Okay.
But the bank, I will write him a letter, have that explained.
He might even want to call them since you've talked to him previously and tell him, you know, that because they do have a duster, it will need to be corrected and we'll follow it up with a letter and whatever is necessary.
Yep.
All right.
So you're
probably safe with that.
You're going to take care of the documentation.
Yeah, I just didn't have time this morning to get this taken care of.
That's fine.
So I'll have it for you for Monday.
That's fine.
And on the other that I just...
I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Okay.
It'll be scheduled
for Monday maybe, or...
I will have to check into it and let you know.
Okay. The only reason I ask is because Ms. Shiverdecker called and she provided some more information about the property. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, you want me to send the letter and you can talk to Kyle about this because of where what's going on with it. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Anything to add?
Accept a motion to note receive an amended certificate. Reference FY18 CDBG $19,400.
Maybe not receive the amended certificate.
Second.
Did not have an amended check. Sorry about that. Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Dunn?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion to approve Resolution 83, reference supplemental appropriations, FY18 CDBG, $19,400.
Move to approve Resolution 83.
Second.
Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Accept a motion to approve Resolution 84, reference moral obligation, land use management.
Resolution 84.
Second.
Land use management to vendor MIT, $15,180.88. Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 85. Reference authorized payment, clerk of courts, $11,000. Court computerization, clerk of courts, $15,251.
Move to approve Resolution 85.
Any discussion? Kim, call the roll, please.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Responses to reports, accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing a letter to all county employees, reference Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1988.
Move to note receipt and approve by signing a letter.
Second.
Any discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt of a letter from the sheriff. Reference contracted wage rate adjustment. Hunter Guidel, Caitlin Halcomb, Devin Smith, and Terry Strawser, sheriff.
Move to note receipt of the letter from the sheriff.
Corrections officer Hunter Guidel will be going from $18.49 to $17.49 to $18.12. Dispatcher Caitlin Halcomb will be her old rate is $16.85. She will be going to $17.49. Deputy Sheriff Devin Smith, old rate of $22.79, will be going to $23.69. And Deputy Sheriff Terry Strauser will be going to from $21.86 to $22.79. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Priest?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. I accept a motion to approve Resolution 87, reference recognizing and commending Major Joe Renner on the occasion of his retirement.
Move to approve Resolution 87.
Second.
Any discussion?
I talked to Joe yesterday, and he said he would come in. Just let him know when the date is.
We do like to thank him for his years of service for the county and the community. Would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Note receipt of an appointment, or accept a motion to note receipt of an appointment from Preble County Common Pleas Court, reference reappointment of Jim Favor to the Veterans Services Board of Commissioners.
Move to note receipt of the appointment.
Second.
Any discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yep. Sign this one. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an appointment. Reference the appointment of Don Pop as the Preble County Apiary Inspector for 2020.
Move to note receipt. Approve the
appointment. Second.
You don't have to sign that. We'll type in.
Oh, okay. All right. Any further discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Agreements and contracts. I accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference preservation service agreement with Agape for Youth, Inc., $30,001 JFS.
Move to note receipt and consider approval by signing the agreement.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Is there a reason this next one's in sideways?
That was the one that Dave was talking about. And
okay.
I was checking with him because I must not have been talking to him about Dave yet. So
okay.
Until I talked to him,
do you want me to keep it sideways so you can find it easily?
Yep,
okay.
I just didn't. On the off chance that we actually got to it before Dave got here, I wanted to explain to you why you might want to wait on it in case you didn't know, but we're good.
Okay, good. All right. We called the roll on that other one, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference MOU for radiation detection equipment with Ohio EMA.
Move to note receipt and approve the agreement by signing.
Second.
Oh, I've lost my pen. Any further discussion? Because Dave did explain all of this. Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference leachate hauling and disposal agreement with Valicor Environmental Services, $45,000 landfill.
Move to note receipt. I'm going to approve by signing the agreement.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Travel requests. Accept a motion to approve the following travel requests. Resolution 88. Rhonda Dietrich has requested permission to attend the Ohio Chief Probation Officers Association Conference in Columbus on February 18th through the 20th. cost not to exceed $318.12.
I'm sorry. I signed that. What'd you say?
$318.12.
Sorry about that.
Resolution 89. Brad Kramer, Land Use Management Director, has requested permission to attend the Southwest Ohio Floodplain Management Workshop for local officials in Cincinnati, Ohio on March 12, 2020. At no cost to the county. Resolution 90. Brad Kramer, Land Use Management Director, has requested permission to attend the Professional Land Surveyors of Ohio Annual Conference in Columbus, Ohio, February 19th through the 22nd. Cost not to exceed $975. And Resolution 91, Jenny Kaltenbach and Shannon Webb, JFS, have received permission to attend HR Issues Training in Lewis Center, Ohio, on February 2nd and 3rd, 2020. Cost not to exceed $1,490.
Move to approve Resolution 88, 89, 90, and 91.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Dent.
Yes.
Commissioner Creech.
Yes. So move.
Sorry.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. FCSC ever since I've been here, which I enjoy. So. Does anybody else, you know, are you good to give it up, or do you want to keep doing it, or?
I would say with his years of experience, he should continue.
I agree with Rodney. we would like to. We need to make an official motion.
It's Resolution 92.
You filled it in for us and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I accept a motion on Resolution 92.
So move.
Sorry.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Thank you for your loyal service to the Law Library.
It's really exciting stuff.
Oh, it sounds exciting. Anything with library in it just sounds riveting. And then add the law stuff in it. Man, extra gravy on those potatoes.
It's good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
FEMA recertification is done, I'm not sure that's done every year, but it's basically a form that we're required to fill out that states we're following the requirements for Preble County to be eligible, you know, for flood insurance and what we're doing to accomplish that. So Brad has completed it, and it needs to be signed by our chief executive officer.
Okay, I will accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing the recertification for FEMA.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Dick.
Yes.
Commissioner Creech.
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson.
Yes. Anything else, Kim?
I have a resolution 86, which is authorizing the expenditure of $5,747.03 for the purchase and installation of a new server and software for the EMA Emergency Operations Center. You know, David talked to you about the fact that we need to get a new server, and so he's got his quotes for a server, and of course it will be installed by DTGI because it's that's who does our computer work. So this resolution will take care of the purchase and then the installation of the new server for the EMA.
Move to approve resolution 86.
Sorry.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Anything else?
Now I think I'm just down to things of interest. Oh no, I think I have.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Well, they made the statement when they were in their budget time they were going to hold the salary flat, so they were within their budget.
Well, that was before they realized that somehow they missed reading the memo about the board allowing the general fund departments to have a 2% salary increase, so then they decided that they wanted to do that also.
Well, and that's fine because they are within their own budget.
Yep, that's what was there.
And it's been our understanding that they stay within their budget and within what they ask us to do.
And we make sure that they, you know, have money available within their budget. Because, you know, they were their own board. You really couldn't tell them yay or nay. The memo was just, but we know that a lot of the departments follow what the board.
And that's fine, and they just say they're responsible for their budget. Okay. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
We received a notice regarding a building appeals case that will be held next Tuesday. Next, the property that is owned by the county. The property in question is a rear one right away.
Oh, I'm surprised we don't get more of those.
And it's to renew a temporary use permit allowing a single wide mobile home on the property. There's a mother who's under the property. So I don't think it requires anybody being there, but I believe it's going to be
No, we're just doing some business. Did you need to?
Can I go over the assessments real quick that you just went over with Beth, or would you prefer me to do that later? Do you need the scrivener's error, just so you don't write a resolution that you shouldn't be writing?
Well, now talk to Beth here when they break for lunch at Beth.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want you to write it for something that you can't do, because you can't assess.
We didn't
the increase.
Do any resolutions.
Like, we'll talk about it, because it's beyond the date, and I'll get in trouble. There's no RC code that we have to follow on that assessment.
Okay.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Just don't want you to write something that's going to... Okay.
We don't want to be in trouble, Yvonne. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so 4-H.
Asking for donations.
It's a sponsorship. Yeah. We usually decide those on our own because that's our own personal fund. So I'd like to read this.
It came into the office.
Right.
So
I'd like to read this, and then we can decide how we want to handle it. Okay.
You guys know what's going on.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Federal juvenile probate is wanting to get the carpet replaced in their offices on the second floor. We're holding off on the carpet on the probate side because that's the one underneath here.
Right.
Wants to know if it's not going to do it, can we just go ahead and do it down on the juvenile side? I don't know what consists of the juvenile side. If they want just the office space, because it should be carpeted with the judges when they did it all.
Right.
I'm assuming that would be where she sits back there in the...
Probably
where there's no leak.
Offices. All the offices over there. I mean, we haven't budgeted for their carpet, right?
Well, they didn't put it in their budget. Nobody said anything to us, so it's not our budget. But it shouldn't be that much.
No, it really shouldn't.
Yeah, it'll just need some.
I thought, that was painting that they gave us, that they was putting in, wasn't it? Getting all the offices painted in the Common Pleas, maybe. There was something.
I thought at some point we discussed carpet.
Yeah, I thought we talked about it too, but I was thinking it was painting. It wasn't that long ago. I wouldn't remember it if it was that long ago. we talked about painting. I forget. It was huge money, $30,000 or something, $20,000, $30,000, wasn't it? That's what we was guessing. But then it was at maybe it's Bruns's side.
Yeah.
Somebody's talking about painting, and we thought they was wanting to do the courtroom, and it ended up not being the courtroom. It ended up just being offices. That's what it was.
Well,
it wasn't carpet.
And
that's what we were guessing, because we thought, I think we talked to Bob about it, actually.
You know, he's mentioned it a couple times, and we asked him to come down and talk to you guys just so we know. It's not that we want to do it, but we kind of want to know what kind of costs we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever provided us with any figures. So, but no, this is just, as far as I know, it's the carpet. I know when they brought it up last year, it was Heather kind of running across and said, oh, yeah, we talked about this with Connie.
Lee.
Yeah, the Lee.
But this is the other side.
She'd like to, now can we just do the juvenile?
So do we just want to have a good bid?
She's gonna have to get some new quotes, I think, which is probably not being welcome, but.
Yeah, but have her get some quotes and figure out what's gonna cost.
Okay. All right, so, yeah.
Okay. I'll get with her on that. We also have a letter that was forwarded to us from the coroner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a done deal. I thought Doc said he didn't want to do it. There's never been one on there before.
Yeah, I don't remember us resolving that.
Kyle doesn't have a seal on the side of his county vehicle. He never had one on that Jeep.
What Jeep?
That he drives.
Is it a county vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have to take it I
don't have a problem. I mean, again, I'll just say what I've always said. I think Doc says I feel like the commissioners have more serious issues to deal with rather than Mark Cars, and I'd agree with him on that. Why do we care if it's marked? Why does the county commissioners care if it's marked?
That's our policy. And
it's never been marked before.
Before it was used, the only reason they got Cobra plates was because it was a dual use vehicle, partly a prosecutor investigator and a coroner investigator. So that's why they got Cobra plates. I've had the state ask me about that previously, and at that point in time, I can still tell, oh, well, you know, we have a prosecutor's investigator who works for both, and that's why we need the covert plates. But it's not necessarily a given that a coroner's vehicle requires, you know, covert plates.
I've never done his job before. I don't know.
I mean, if you're investigating what caused it, that's the sheriff.
The sheriff had an unmarked car for years. I mean, he's got marked. I guess I just don't care. I guess I'd leave that up to Dr. Mark as an elected official.
This is what came in.
Is it illegal?
Correspondence we've had.
Is it illegal for them to have an unmarked car?
Not that I know.
As long as it's not illegal. I'm asking a loaded question. If it's not illegal, let them do it. I mean, if we're not breaking the law, I don't see, again, why we're sticking our nose in somebody else's business.
I don't care, Rodney. I'm just telling you, this is what came in.
That's fine.
Our request to him to.
Where's everybody feel? Then where's everybody feel about it? I'll stop talking.
You know, this is not my, you know, this is my demand.
Who's telling him to do this? Okay.
It's county policy that county vehicles be marked. And if we're not going to go by the policy, we should probably amend that.
Yeah. Just make exceptions for certain vehicles. I'm fairly confident that Kyle's Jeep never had markings on it. His gray or silver Jeep. Whatever that thing was.
I'm trying to remember.
I don't think it did.
Because we were at the landfill, all of us together, and he was in it. I can't remember.
I don't think it did.
I don't pay attention to it. I have no idea. I just know most of the other vehicles are marked, you know.
I don't know.
I can see vehicles that are at the landfill or the county engineer's office being marked. But I feel like the coroner, if they want it to be unmarked, there's a reason.
I guess we need to amend our policy then to make exceptions.
What does it say now? Every vehicle will be marked?
It's on the ORC. It's been a while since I've done it, so I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, I mean, we may not even have to amend it.
The commissioner set the policy.
It's in our commission policy, and it's been that way.
Yeah.
Things to read today.
Yeah. This is just an FYI thing.
Okay.
We just kind of, we'll keep it in office so that we know when they're working late and stuff. So, you know, why someone's still there. It's just an information thing. The copy is in the courtesy that, you know, this is when they're holding it.
Why did they only request security for these two locations?
I have no idea.
I know Twin Valley always has a police officer when I go in there.
Huh.
Chief Webb, or Webb's usually
there.
I've never seen. I don't know. I guess it's just what they sent the sheriff
and
call.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know why he's there, but I talk to him when I go in.
I don't know.
Is he there when you go, Chris? Webb?
Oh, now that could be. It could be a school policy. Okay. Anything else?
Nope, we have your copy of the legal opinion.
Ryan, I'm going to read that.
Before we recess, you want to tell him?
Well, yeah, how did the...
Andrew?
We're so sorry.
We're pardon?
I called them, Julie had emailed them, that's when they emailed, followed up and said they'd like to postpone it.
Okay.
Left their cell phone number. I called the cell phone number, left him a message, and came back into the meeting. So I told him that he would need to talk to me because I was going to be in here. I knew after looking at this agenda it wasn't breaking any time soon. So, you know, come back in here. We'll set it up later. We'll get together, you know, this afternoon.
Did you get the correspondence?
I did, okay. Yes. I just drove up. I wanted to provide an opportunity to have a face-to-face discussion if there are any questions about the reasoning that we had on.
Well, I guess the reason for everybody's benefit here, we don't have appropriations put in place to move forward. We thought we had taken care of that. And I had, until Kim brought to my attention, I thought we'd taken care of it at budget time, but obviously it would be a good overlook. So we need to put the appropriations in place before we can actually kick off the...
Before we can sign the amendment.
Yes.
And they are officially doing the
Yeah, I thought we had done that also.
Well, and thinking about it, Kim and I talked a little bit. We talked about it before we knew the total amounts. We had a discussion, but I don't think the final amounts ever got put into the program.
Right.
We had a discussion on it, but I don't think it was ever finalized, and I apologize for that. But that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Basically, we don't have the money in place to get started. So we will have to do that.
Do you have anything any questions or concerns you have at this point?
No, sir. Just want to make myself available if the commissioners have any questions.
I think that obviously Kyle, Julie, and I have been working with Andrew's office and the Corps and everyone else trying to get all this paperwork together. I think we're very close to getting this finalized. But when we're dealing with multiple offices, and sometimes it becomes, some things get dropped, fall through the cracks, and I'm not making excuses. It's just, this was one of them that I thought we had taken care of, and I apologize, but we'll get straight out.
Do you have a, is part of the kickoff meeting going to be developing a timeline and all of that business?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I would like to be sent in. I provided essentially two timelines. One is basically a number of weeks from notice to proceed. Mm-hmm. We expect each of the scheduled milestones to occur.
Okay.
And then, assuming a kickoff of this week, I pulled together an example schedule.
Okay.
I think we need to be amended.
Right.
And these guys haven't seen anything yet, but they'll go over that. We've got into two projects, a collection and the treatment, and there's a timeline for each of those, and some of it has to do with easements and land acquisition. There's a lot of moving parts, and they'll go over all that one. That's part of the kickoff meeting.
Okay.
That way everybody's on the same page.
Okay.
And we've kind of gone back and forth with them a little bit on the scheduling, some questions Kyle and I had, just to try to make sure we're all on the same page, so that, trying to get everything clarified up front so that we, you know, a month or 2 months down the road, we don't hit a hiccup here that we're not all unaware of. So I think we're in pretty good shape right now.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank
you. Schedules in the amendments, the schedules you talked about, are they included in the body of the amendment?
In Exhibit A.
Exhibit A. So once I know time frames, do what we need to know so we can update that at that point in time before it is in place before they sign it? Well, it just seemed to make more sense than to amend the amendment.
Mm-hmm. No. I think he's well aware of that. That's just a matter of moving some dates out.
Yeah. Like I said, it's down at the prosecutor's, but I can start the other stuff beforehand.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for Andrew?
Definitely.
No. Thank you for coming in. Thank you.
Thanks for coming up, and sorry you had to. I hope you had a nice drive, let's put it that way.
I did.
Where are you coming from?
Cincinnati.
I thought so. I thought you were.
Our office is off of the fields at
Lexington. Okay. I-71. Okay. Well, now the traffic will be good, so you can get back there.
It was all the phone call.
Windshield time.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Anything else?
The only thing I got, and I totally forgot about it until Dave said something about fire and blah, 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 but the Knox box. Are we going to end up doing the Knox box? We talked about it.
I thought we already did that. What in the world?
Are we talking about a different one than the one for the courthouse that they've been in for months?
Yeah, it's
on. So it's done.
Yeah, it's been there.
I thought, did we end up going on the outside of the building? I don't use the back door. Okay. That's good. I didn't know if it was, I don't use that door. So. But I mean, they got access to it. Well, he was talking about fires and stuff, and I thought, man, I never heard anything on the Knox box. I thought we talked about it, but I didn't know. And then the other thing, on Planning Commission, Adam was my alternate, and he has since taken the president role. And I talked to Kevin Johnston, and he's interested in filling as my alternate or whatever. So I wanted to.
You need a letter. Just send us a letter.
He needs to send us a letter?
You do.
You need to send.
I send a letter to our office. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just an email or?
Yeah, I don't think it's everything real. I'm trying to remember. You might have done it that way the last time. I'm not really sure. But
I don't think it's super formal.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. I'll get an email sent. I couldn't remember how we did that. That's all I got.
We'll go ahead and recess till 11:30.
Wait. I do have one thing.
Don't hit the button.
Pardon?
I said not recessing immediately.
Yeah, I would like to enter into executive session to discuss possible purchase or selling the property.
Second.
Can you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
actually executive session. We're discussing the purchase and selling, purchase possible property with no action taken.
Second.
Can we call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. All right. Anything else? We should
right
be
now.
Here in about 8 minutes. Anything else?
Recess for 8 minutes? Or?
The recess?
I'm good.
Yeah. Recess.
This meeting, maybe you would get
see the additional receptacles in this area.
On the north side of your door, yes.
Okay. And, you have any more questions about that for the voting sign? Okay. I might mention that we are planning on moving our desk back down, the desk back down on February 14th, the Friday before early voting starts. And then it'll be moved back upstairs.
So you know, another day of the voting machine, and that big desk right there.
We have much room. We measure things out.
Okay.
And I know we have to keep the doorway open for fireball. We've already done that. And we just want to make sure. That's why Brian Smith said he'd come in and work with us. Okay? So that takes care of early voting site. Now, on security, on the 450 tabulator, Chris, you came in the office and spoke to me on January 8th and said there's no space here on the first floor for it. And you and I kind of worked out that maybe by we measured that we can move it inside the other office. We're going to attempt to try that to see if it works, but if it doesn't work in this primary, we're going to have to figure out something else. And maintenance is taking care of our outlets for our new security request. Like I said, they're reworking it. We've got to go to 220 outlet. So they're working on that this morning.
220.
Yeah.
It needs getting the branch off.
Branch is off. We've got one 220. 220 circuit in. The branch off. Probably 10.
One
10 meters.
So is he going to fill a breaker panel and go put it in?
I don't know how they're going, but they've already figured it out. They've got wires.
And you don't need 220.
No, we just.
Yes, we do. You have to come down and look at and see what we're talking about.
They're feeding in there with 220 and then going out with the
110s. We've got in the back of our rack. Right, in the back of the rack. How many outlet, boys? 20 with 10 amps on the back of this rack.
220 is going to come to that position and then branch out.
To the 110s. They checked the manual for it and said they'll make sure we'll have plenty of amps. That's what they're doing. Okay. Secure storage area in the basement. We talked about a dehumidifier. Any news on that?
We finally got in touch with the company that's going to have a little ventilation to put everything down there. I don't know. I talked briefly with Julie. I don't know what's happening.
According to Julie, when I talked to her this morning, there's a company coming in this Friday to go down there and take a look at it. And we're still trying to get a hold of some others.
We contacted, I think she said, 8 different companies, and this is the first one that will even come out and give us some kind of recommendations. So she's been on the corner, so I'm trying to get somebody in here. But as soon as we get somebody that comes in that does commercial work like this type, we can figure out with the ventilation and then get their recommendations.
Okay.
I mean, just to stick something in there temporarily, we can do a formula or something, but we're trying to get somebody to do it so we can.
Okay.
Hey, and as long as the heat's on, the humidity isn't going to be.
We're okay.
But when we switch, at that time, we get wet to spring.
Right. and like I said, we've been working to try to get somebody in here, but this is the first one that he said they would come out. So, from what I've been told, there's not that many out there, and the ones that are out there are busy.
All right. And you had said something about extra storage space where we're going to kind of like. Wall and do some of that to take the room that we've got now where the metal boxes are at. Is that still in the plans?
Kind of put that on hold until we get somebody in down to see what.
Okay, got it.
I mean,
okay.
We're planning on possibly taking some walls out,
okay.
Redoing the entire thing.
And so we're looking for someone to mitigate the radio.
Okay.
Which is only on one side of the courthouse space, which is super weird.
Which I can't understand that.
schematic. They can sit down with the company and say, okay, here's what we can do, here's what we can't do. How do we remedy this? So we haven't done anything because we don't want to spend some money and then.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, we're going to have a little breather between March and August. So that's about the only time span we've got. Okay.
Hopefully we get some money in there to take a look at this thing and come in and say, here's your biggest problem, here's how you can fix this. I mean, I don't think that would be that big of an issue, but we want somebody to communicate with some of this and tell us what to do.
And fourth floor, secured storage area, lead paint. We do anything about that? What are we?
Trying to get the basement taken care of, and then we'll move to the fourth floor. I mean, plain and simple, it's been hard enough trying to get somebody to work on that. Not trying to kick it down the road.
Well, if we get the basement, then we may not need the fourth floor. If we have enough space down there.
We're going to have a lot of stuff up there.
Well, and maybe I'm just saying it'd be nice to have everything in one spot, not have to go straight up.
It'd be nice, but the thing is, if you're going to have to take care of the humidity and all that kind of stuff, because you know we got a lot of paperwork upstairs. And
I'm just saying.
And it's all and it's curling anyway. I mean, some of the boxes we took out earlier this year, it was atrocious.
I think our goal is try to figure out what to do with the basement first,
okay,
and then move to the fourth floor, because fourth floor is just wasting space until we figure out some way to address it. It's kind of ridiculous. We've got that much area up there, it's not being utilized. I don't know what the answer is, but I know what the issues that we're going to be faced with.
And also I want to tell you that the week of February 3rd, we're going to do testing, our LNA testing. And we will be bringing all of the equipment up to the first floor. We'll leave a walkway to the stairway as much as we can. And testing, hopefully we can get it done on the 4th, but there's also the 5th. Of that. So we need to bring it up the day before, so it's up here, so then boom, 8 o'clock we can just start in and do it completely.
Is it okay to leave those out there secure?
There's nothing on them.
Nothing on them.
That's
once we get them tested in.
Because we'll have to have all the flash drives pulled, so the express modes will probably bring down our hallway and into our office as much as possible. The DS-200s, they're locked down anyway. So. And it probably will be just, we bring them up late afternoon. And then, I suppose it's at 4. So. Because all this testing has to be done during public time. And if we have to stay late, we're going to have Sheriff Deputy stay. So keep us open. So we're going to try to get done during the public hours.
You say it has to be done
early? Anybody can come and watch.
Yeah.
That sounds riveting.
You're going to have a crowd.
Well, I publicize it. Nobody shows up. Well, you did, didn't you? Did you show up?
Another one of your cohorts showed up. Day all day. She watched about 10 minutes. I said, "Is this it?" Yeah. And then she goes, "How
interesting."
You know, maybe the law library guy can go and watch the testing.
Thank you.
That's all I've got. I just.
If you guys need anything. Sure,
the main thing is, let's get to this lighting and we got to get the lighting figured out.
I just want to make sure our communications are open. And,
right.
I mean, you know, we don't need to keep Kelsey busy with paper. I mean, if you guys need something, let us know. We're here out. And that's, I mean, I can't. I wish Gene and Buffy was here. But, the tit for tat stuff goes back and forth from our office to your office. It's both ways. I'd like to see us just get everything worked out. Our two offices work together. And, you know, we may not agree, or we may
started on this, because we got
I'm just saying, I mean, if there's a need, we'll take, I mean, there's nothing that we've said we won't meet. And,
this is December, and now we're checking on it, and still, you know, we're still kind of getting it together, so that's why we're back.
Oh, right.
We just kind of want to make sure we're on the same page.
This meeting should have been called a month ago, if that's the case.
Well, we wanted to make sure you had business, you know, reorganization business in the first.
Well, Kim said, too, that you had convention.
Right.
And we would schedule it after convention time, so that's what we did.
Unfortunately, in the public sector, things don't happen overnight.
Right.
It's the nature of the beast, but we've been working on these, some of these issues, like I said.
And we will get with our maintenance department, and they will address these things before your deadline.
Well, and like I said, I talked to them this morning.
Right.
And,
if there's anything, just let us know, let them know. Except I don't necessarily care. Need one or three or five or seven, because I'd rather just work directly with them and cut out the middle of it, but that's just
well, the light, like I said, the lighting is the big issue out there, because we had a gentleman come in here from Eden that voted, and he is, well, legally blind. I mean, he can still see shadows, and he says, ooh, it's really bad. I said, okay, and he needs to move the light, so we kind of moved the light, and he still had a tough time. So we need,
I love light.
I don't they make lights that are really tall, like, kind of like your, I don't know, maybe a big stand, but it would arch over, and don't they make lights like that?
Well,
like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure somehow we have one at home, but
it might not look the best, but we can always hang something to make it look halfway decent on the second floor.
Not where you're putting the equipment.
Not where you're putting the
equipment.
Oh, you mean on the
desk?
Yeah. Over your desk where we was checking.
Yeah, over the desk is a real problem, too.
Because that's where, when I walked out, I mean, it was just
dark. Really tall lights.
Well, I mean, that's between you guys and maintenance, but.
But they'll come up with something. They're good at MacGyvering things up.
Well, I mean, just like putting the outlet in the lamppost there by the stairway.
That was good.
12, if we can. We got to come back anyway. You have anything time sensitive?
Thank you.
All right. I guess we'll wait till you come back.
Well, what is it?
Dave,
see you, Dave. Thanks.
Hey,
just 1 second.
Hold on.
She wants to start her new girl on Friday the 31st instead of Monday the
3rd. Okay. Do we just need to change the letter and sign it again? I mean, I'm good with that. I'm fine.
Anything else? I just got a 12 I'm trying to get to.
Okay. Recess for lunch then? Okay.
Well, we are here with our attorney, and we would like to go into executive session for pending litigation.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, if you don't mind.
I will.
Move to pending litigation, we have counsel, no action taken.
Second.
Can we call roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. All right, Kim, do you have any additional items?
Bless your hearts, yes, I do.
Well, bless our hearts, go ahead and give them to us.
We have a court entry on the Board of Elections filing. So if you want to know receipt of the court entry.
So move.
All right, we have a court entry. The undersigned hereby disqualifies himself from presiding over further proceedings in this case. This is Preble County Board of Elections as the plaintiff versus Rodney Creach et al. And, well, that one says Rodney Creach also.
Well, they're all the same. They just brought down three.
Oh, okay. So this is against Rodney, Chris, and myself. The undersigned hereby disqualifies himself from presiding over further proceedings in this case. Accordingly, the court administrator shall forthwith seek the appointment of a retired or visiting judge to preside over further proceedings in this matter. And it is signed Judge Stephen R. Bruns. Any further discussion?
Hopefully we don't need any further legal guidance on this, and we can sit down with the Board of Elections and talk through things.
I agree. Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes.
And the other is a revised letter that he had called and asked that we change the date of hire for the new social service worker 2 to be January the 31st instead of February the 3rd. It has to do, she said, with insurance. I'm sure it's health insurance, because now she starts in January, so she doesn't have to go through February, March before she can get her insurance. She just has to go through February.
Okay, so we've already approved this, right?
Yes, so would you like to, I don't know if you need to say another one, or just approve this as an amended or correction? The same day, so we can do it after.
Do you prefer?
Say that again.
That she changed the date on this. We've already approved it with the amount of money with the other date. So do you want to just make?
So we need to rescind the other one and approve this one.
Yeah, either that.
Either one.
We'll receive this one as
amended.
Amended, you know, a revision to the one previously approved with correct date.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
I would rescind the other one so there's no question and approve this one.
Okay. We can do that.
That way we're not stacking them.
Okay.
So I'm going to rescind the previous letter to the payroll clerk regarding the hire of Abigail Johnson.
Taylor.
So move.
Second.
Can we call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Now, if you'd like to move to approve a letter to payroll clerk regarding the hire of Abigail Thompson or Thomas, whatever you want.
Taylor.
Taylor, sorry.
Start with a T.
Second.
Do not receive and approve by signing the letter to the payroll clerk.
Second.
Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. All right. Anything else, Kim?
I don't think that's all I got right now.
Are you sure?
That was plenty.
That was a lot. Rodney, do you have anything?
Move down to our executive session, discuss personnel.
Second.
Can we call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Dennis?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Forty.
Move to exit executive session to discuss personnel.
Sorry.
Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Okay, anybody have anything else? I do think that we need to start having discussion with the health department about the trailer park, so.
Have them come in?
Yeah.
And I think Jerry needs to be here when they're here.
We gotta put, well, we'll put it on the agenda, and I really, we gotta put some heat on that property owner. There is no excuse for that. If you were doing it.
I
laugh when people fall, so please don't fall.
I mean, I don't know.
If you were doing it, you know, if any of us were doing it, there would be heat. Nobody would be allowed to do this.
There's properties all over. You know, I went to the eating place and got lunch. Had two people come up talking about the property in Lee Lexington.
Which one?
The one right across from Township House.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a mess?
I mean, our hands are tied. That's what these people don't understand.
They think we have all the power in the world.
I still think we have that the health department should be making moves to clean this up.
It takes money, though.
The property owner should be taking responsibility for what he's doing to his neighbors.
The only way to do that is the township has to take the initiation, which they are going to be on the hook to pay for.
Yep.
And
they can't afford it.
Then they can put it on taxes. I mean, Twin Township has already been through this once, and that was a 3-year ordeal.
You talking in the barn?
Well, wait a minute. I thought that if that was... the property abandoned or anything?
Yeah.
See, this property's not abandoned. It's actively
It wasn't abandoned. Nobody lived there. We tore the barn down and then put it on their taxes. And then they sued us.
This is actively being used and actively polluting. I think we need to put some heat on.
We don't have any power to do anything.
We don't need
jurisdiction. But the health department, I think, does. I really do think that they could start pushing the matter of the owner, the property owner. And I think they should, and I think that...
But we don't have...
We can at least have a conversation. I'm not saying we do, because we don't, but we can at least have the conversation with the health department that says, why aren't you? And asking them, why aren't they making a case out of this? Why isn't something being done?
Money. It's all going to boil down to money, because any action is taken, somebody has to pay for it.
Well, and it should be that property owner.
I understand what
you're
saying.
He's making money. He's collecting rent from these people. He's making money off of this property.
I understand what you're saying, but the method of doing that is by taking an action, placing it on taxes, and to go collect what that means.
We don't have
the ability to do something and build them.
I don't see how that this is a fixable thing. To me, I think if we press this property owner and tell him he has to fix his property properly, the problem may fix itself. Because as a property owner, if he's facing a big bill, I mean, I don't even know what the fix would be. Is that a whole new sewer district? A whole new sewage system for him? I guess there isn't one. So a whole system that would have to be installed? I don't know. I think some heat should be put on that property. And I think the only way it's going to happen is the health department.
So we're going to have the health department come in?
I think so. Let's have them come in.
And we'll let Jerry know. We'll have Christian in here.
It'll be fine.
I love Jerry, but there's nothing we can do.
I think we can at least
We can talk about it.
Well, I think we could try to push back to that property.
Before we have legal counsel in our health department, should we meet with our legal counsel to discuss this?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
All right.
I would
maybe have them.
Well, I would rather have a conversation. conversation with them first.
Yeah.
And then advise, let them advise us on how we should handle this.
Good point.
Because we're in pending litigation on this right now, folks.
Oh, that's true.
It's true. So.
Okay, so let's get whoever the heck's, I guess it's Eric, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get him in here and see what our options are, at least to discuss them with the health department as far as the trailer park. Because just sitting here doing nothing and pointing fingers, it's not getting anything done. Jerry's right. All right. Anything else? Okay. Nothing else? Accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Cam, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Depp?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Oh, I guess these are...